In the middle of the last century, the official federal policy toward Native Americans was one of assimilation, and that resulted in tribe after tribe losing its status, its federal recognition. That policy was thrown into reverse, and by the end of the century, many tribes had had their official status restored. There is administrative recognition process, but a bill in Congress would do it legislatively for a group in Siskiyou County. The Ruffey Rancheria Restoration Act of 2017 was introduced by Doug LaMalfa, who represents inland Northern California in Washington. It recently passed out of committee by one vote. Jared Huffman, who represents coastal Northern California, voted against it. And the Karuk tribe on the North Coast has issues with the bill. Two guests to help us understand that. Josh Saxon is a member of the tribe and the Karuk tribe executive director. He just joins us by phone. Hi, Josh.
Good morning.
Good to have you here. Craig Tucker joins us once again as well. He's a natural resources policy consultant for the tribe. Hi, Craig.
Hey, good morning.
So, Josh, start us off with helping understand the rancheria system. Is it only California that has the system?
Yeah, those rancherias are unique to California. There were 59 Indian settlements or rancherias. They were established mostly between 1906 and 1934. So they were created for communities of Indians who had been displaced from their homelands and were labeled kind of survivors of the Aboriginal population. They weren't tribes per se, and so that any Indians of the area, regardless of their cultural identity, were lumped together into these rancherias. And although there was usually a majority of a given ethnic group in any given rancheria, most of the folks, say for example for the Ruffey Rancheria, were displaced Karuk people, including the group's namesake, Old Man Ruffy. He's actually from Soames Bar. So rancherias were granted reservations, and in the case of Ruffy, 441 acres along Etna Creek in Scott Valley was the location that was identified for them. And then in the 1950s, the United States went through this kind of policy of assimilation through termination. And so basically what happened is that Congress began terminating government-to-government relationships, and that included rancherias. And so when they began terminating these relationships and dispersing whatever lands were held still among the surviving members, and for Ruffy in particular, the BIA came in and in that termination process distributed that 441 acres and gave the proceeds to four surviving individuals of the Ruffy family.
And do you know who holds the land now, and is that the very land being discussed in the bill?
Unfortunately, no. The land being discussed in the bill is not limited to 441 acres anymore. The original bill language limited that to 441 acres, but now it's unlimited land, private or public, in Siskiyou County is the way that the bill reads. Unfortunately, in that termination era, that land, that 441 acres, is now private, and it's basically being held in fee.
So as you read this bill, the Ruffey Rancheria Restoration Act of 2017, what do you see being proposed here that troubles you?
Well, it's restoration of a terminated rancheria. It's rare, but it's not unprecedented in California. There's been a few cases. But up until the case of Ruffy, the restoration of a rancheria meant that the descendants of the remaining members at the time of termination would be members. And unfortunately, LaMalfa's Ruffy bill broadens this membership in really bizarre ways. We're still trying to figure out, how and why this is all happening. But basically, a select group of individuals who would be eligible to enroll based on some questionable ties to some of the names that have come up in some BIA records. This idea of should have been enrolled is a real big question mark for us in this legislative push, because ultimately, this would be a concept of retroactive enrollment, and we're not we haven't seen historic documents that have been that have shown this link in a way that legislative processes have identified this before, especially through the legislative process. Typically, these would be going through an administrative process where these things, historic ties, can be factually accurate. And unfortunately, with this particular bill, it could exclude eligible Ruffey descendants enrolled in other tribes. So the bottom line is this legislation is really strange, and it raises a lot of questions, not just for us, but for over 75 tribes in California who requested a second rehearing, because this basically came out of nowhere and with no communication with any of the tribes that would be affected.
We're talking about the proposal to do a restoration of the Ruffey Rancheria in the Scott Valley of California around the Etna area, which is in a bill in the U.S. House of Representatives, passed out of committee now on the House floor, House Bill 3535. We're talking to Josh Saxon, the executive director of the Karuk Tribe, and Craig Tucker, the natural resources policy consultant for the tribe. And you can join us on the exchange at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. We did reach out to the folks in charge of the process on the California side, and Raj Gomes is the identified tribal chair. He has not consented to come on the program with us, hasn't returned our phone calls, basically. We did pluck some quotes off their website, so forgive the music because this is their production and their edits, but here's what he has to say about the lineal argument.
As a matter of fact, our membership does include lineal descendants of the original Ruffey Rancheria. My own great-grandfather was a member, as was his mother and his father, and our membership also includes direct lineal descendants of Old Man Ruffey himself.
Well, which gets back to what you were saying a minute ago, Josh, that you said Old Man Ruffey was Karuk. So is the point here that this should be more about the Karuk tribe or just not a rancheria by itself or what?
Well, I think there's a lot of unanswered questions when it comes to statements like that. Unfortunately, it's difficult to outline, or make those kind of statements with no factual backup in terms of the linkage between Taj Gomes' group and the Ruffey Rancheria. And of course, anyone can claim anything in terms of their membership. Unfortunately, they're not a open group. They're a very secretive group. All the things that they have done has been behind closed doors with Siskiyou County and with Doug LaMalfa. They've even had conversations with Siskiyou County about their membership, which is very disturbing.
And so, Craig Tucker, since you're here as a natural resources policy consultant, there must be some natural resource issues that this touches upon or could conceivably touch upon that raises your level of interest as well.
Well, this is the most disturbing piece of this to me. Is they're taking a rancheria that was on a small seasonal creek in Scott Valley, and this legislation lets them place any amount of land into trust to become a reservation anywhere in Siskiyou County. And they have maps where they show that or claim they have interest in watersheds all over Siskiyou County. So this means these guys could have a reservation on the Sacramento River. They could have a reservation on the Klamath River, and they want to take the fishing and water and hunting rights associated with the original rancheria, pick them up and move them somewhere. Well, I think everybody that's listening to this show would acknowledge that the Klamath is a difficult problem. It's a big mess when it comes to water rights and fishing rights already. So letting this tribal entity with a questionable history plop down in the middle of the Klamath River and try to exert water rights or fishing rights, it really doesn't help us solve the Klamath crisis. It probably makes us take a step backwards in trying to solve the Klamath crisis. So I think it just doesn't quite make sense. And the language for how people can enroll in this thing is particularly troubling. It actually borrows language from the Muslim ban, and it talks about it refers to some historical documents and Indians who are living on the original rancheria lands, and it enrolls these people along with their bona fide relations. That means the husbands, the wives, the in-laws, who may not even be native people. And so now you've retroactively enrolled white people whose descendants could today enroll in this new entity. Now, I don't know if that was a deliberate on the part of the people who wrote this legislation to make sure that the individuals they want enrolled get enrolled, or if it's just horrifically sloppy legislation that's a product of the rush job that this has been, but it's pretty bizarre language, and it's really unprecedented in Indian country throughout America.
We are talking about the Ruffey Rancheria Restoration Act of 2017, which has been introduced in Congress, has passed out of committee on a 19-18 vote earlier this month. Doug LaMalfa of Richvale, who represents inland Northern California, introduced it, voted yes in committee. Jared Huffman, who represents coastal Northern California, also in that committee, voted against it. And it's still obviously got some opposition here from the Karuk tribe and others. I want to bring back in another comment here from Taj Gomes, and thanks for the correction on the name, Josh. Taj Gomes is listed as the chairman of the Ruffey Rancheria and talks about some of the concerns that have been raised.
Although the original draft of the bill provided that we could take land into trust within 25 miles of the rancheria once it's restored, and we don't know exactly where that's going to be, except that it's going to be in Siskiyou County, we did have some concerns raised by other tribes in both Oregon and in Shasta County. In response to their concerns, we have asked for amendments to the bill to make sure that we are not able to take any land into trust in either Shasta County or Oregon, and therefore there can be no casino in either of those.
I should point out the city of Ashland sent a letter concerned about any effort to create a casino there, so that's what's being addressed. Now, he talks about amendments to the bill, but as I checked the bill tracker as of late afternoon yesterday, there had been no amendments added after it left committee. Any notion that any knowledge that either of you have, Josh Saxon or Craig Tucker, of amendments being added?
Well, the bill on the if you go to the bill tracker, does not reflect the amendments that were entered before the vote. So there's a version of the bill that's not even on the website, and mm-hmm. I don't understand why that is. But they did amend it to restrict it to Siskiyou County. So
okay.
They can have land anywhere in Siskiyou County, and they talk a lot about the fact that the gaming is restrictive. So they, if they wanted to have a casino, it would have to be within 5 miles of their reservation, which that's pretty limited relative to Indian country, except for the fact that your reservation can be anywhere. So, you know, it doesn't matter if you restrict it to a few miles of the reservation, if the reservation could be anywhere in the county. And the reservation doesn't have to be contiguous the way the bill is written. So they could have 10 acres here, 10 acres there, an acre on I-5 and put a casino on it. It's like this thing is just really strange the way it's written. It's unprecedented, and it kind of was done in the cloak of darkness. You know, it's very uncommon for a congressman to introduce a significant piece of legislation that affects tribes and have zero communication with the tribes in his district. And we were in Congressman LaMalfa's office mere weeks before this bill was introduced. No one mentioned it. We read about it in the newspaper.
Were you there on Klamath River issues?
I was.
Mm-hmm.
And health care issues.
And
so
this
was around the time that the health care debate was going on last year.
Okay. We have an email here from Bobby Smith, no town given. He says, federal recognition has been restored for 40 of the 46 federally terminated tribes in California. The Ruffey Rancheria Restoration Act is modeled after similar legislation that was used to restore other federally terminated tribes. Why does the Karuk tribe believe that the lineal descendants of the members of the original Ruffey Rancheria are less deserving of federal restoration than the members of any other restored tribe? That's the end of that question. And Bobby continues, in addition, are the Karuk aware of who is on the list of the original 57 landless Indians, in quotes? And if so, they should be aware that Chairman Gomes' great-grandfather is on the list. If not, why would they oppose the legislation if they know the BIA will verify and certify the enrollment? Thank you very much, writes Bobby Smith. Josh Saxon, your thoughts?
Well, unfortunately, the reach to then establish those 57 landless Indians as part of the Ruffey Rancheria is where our question lies. They're automatically assuming that those 57 landless Indians that were identified in the 1913 letter are of the Rancheria. Unfortunately, that's not necessarily the case, and that's what we're trying to find out, is were these 57 people that were identified in this 1913 letter that was a part of the legislative record actually part of the Rancheria? And that's a huge question that fundamentally needs to be answered, and we're hoping to get that answered soon. But here's the issue, is that of those 57 landless Indians, the majority of those, actually the huge majority of those are Kudduk people. And so when you, and unfortunately, you know, as we learn more and more about this Ruffy group that's claiming these ties, is that the majority of them are Shasta folks. And that's unfortunate that these groups of Shasta people are reinventing or reinterpreting the historic record in the way that's advantageous to them. And so we still have a lot of questions about ties to the Ruffy Rancheria that we're hoping to get answered soon.
And it's not just Karuk that has these questions. Mm-hmm. You know, these questions have been raised by over 70 fairly recognized tribes in California.
And some in Oregon as well. The Confederated Tribes of Siletz weighed in on this too, didn't they?
Exactly. And the Klamath Tribes and the Coos. So it's not just a beef that Karuk has. And Karuk is not opposed to the descendants, the lineal descendants of a terminated rancheria, having an opportunity to have their rights restored. But if you should be, you do have to be held to account, and you have to demonstrate you are who you say you are. And that's why typically tribes receive federal recognition after going through a process with the BIA and Department of Interior that verifies that people are who they say they are.
And that administrative process is very long, I noticed. There are groups that are waiting now, been waiting for years.
Well, it's true. But, you know, it's the alternative is this sort of political end run around the process that we see with LaMalfa's bill. And we just want to be convinced that these guys are who they say they are. And this idea that they can just pick up the reservation from a small creek in Scott Valley and move it anywhere in Siskiyou County doesn't seem legitimate to us.
All right. We will see what happens as this moves through Congress. It has already gotten out of committee. That is the Ruffy Rancheria Restoration Act of 2017, House Bill 3535, introduced by Doug LaMalfa, who represents Siskiyou and Shasta counties in Congress, and Jared Huffman, who represents the North Coast in Congress, voted against this in committee. Much more to come. Josh Saxon is the Karuk Tribe Executive Director and a tribal member. Craig Tucker is the Natural Resources Policy Consultant for the tribe. Thank you both for joining us on The Exchange today.